Last night I was reading about the Cultural Revolution in China, and specifically I was reading about the massacre that took place in Guangxi. I can never get that Z sound, you know. I remember my ex-girlfriend, when we lived in Taiwan, she used to try and teach me Mandarin. And I would always, I just couldn't get the fucking accent, like the sounds right, you know. I think I could if I really just fucking spent, you know, many months trying to conquer it. But anyway, the Guangxi, you just want to say Guangxi, you know, but it's more kind of Guangxi, I think. Anyway, this massacre that took place, well, it was a series of massacres and just fucking insanity. I mean, the methods of slaughter, this is me reading from the Wikipedia article here. The methods of slaughter included beheading, beating, live burial, stoning, drowning, boiling. They fucking boiled people. And disemboweling, you know? Oh, fuck. Boiling. These fucking boiled people alive, like they were fucking lobsters. Whoa. They ate them as well. That's one of the big things here in the Guangxi massacre, is that they fucking ate hundreds of people. All right, let me read this one thing to you. This is according to a member of like the Ministry of Public Security, who was investigating all of this. And let me read you this part. It says like a peasant who was passing by Wushan was caught and killed by local militia because he was fat. He was caught and killed by local militia because he was fat. His heart and liver were taken out while his flesh was distributed to 20 people. A female militia leader ate 6 human livers in total and cut the genitals off 5 men and soaked them in alcohol, which she would later drink, claiming that these organs were beneficial to her health. Yes. Of course they are. They ate the flesh, they ate the hearts, they ate the livers, all over. The Guangxi, the Wushan, the Wuming, the Shaanxi, Feng Guping, Lingyu. They ate them all over the place. I mean, like, they barbecued them. They sautéed them. They were having a lot of food. They were eating a lot of food. They weren't going hungry. And this had nothing to do, by the way, with a famine. It wasn't like, oh, they're so hungry, we have to eat the humans. No, there was no fucking famine going on at this time. Okay, the famine, you know, really occurred during the Great Leap Forward, which came before this. The Cultural Revolution was more about kind of, you know, making sure Mao kept his power and the Communist Party kept their power by just killing a bunch of fucking people all over the place and causing chaos. That's what it was all about. Kill anyone that's trying, perhaps, maybe, to take us down or is a threat to us. Just kill them. And fucking eat them if you want, I guess. Let's see what else is here. Okay, let's read this. Yeah, I read this part. I read all of this yesterday. This is one of the bad things that happened. there was one landowner called Liu Zhengzhan, whose entire family was wiped out. He had a 17-year-old daughter, Liu Shulan, who was gang-raped by 9 people for 19 times, who then ripped open her belly. They ripped open her belly and ate her liver and breasts. There were so many incidents like this. There was a hierarchy in the consumption of class enemies. Leaders feasted on the heart and liver mixed with pork, while ordinary villagers were allowed only to peck at the victims' arms and thighs. Fucking hell. We are monkey people, aren't we? We are fucking monkey people. In one case, according to official records, a person was bound to dynamites on the back and was blown up into pieces by other people. Just for fun. Just for fun. This is a happy one. A geography instructor named Wu Shufang was beaten to death by students at Wushan Middle School. Her body was carried to the flat stones of the Quan River, where another teacher was forced at gunpoint to rip out the heart and liver. Back at the school, the pupils barbecued and consumed the organs. Like, wow. Wow. Hardcore. Really. Imagine, like, you're a teacher. You're a geography teacher. And you're going to teach your students. Things have been a bit wild lately. But, you don't think by the end of the day you're going to be in pieces on a barbecue about to be eaten by a bunch of your students. You don't think that, do you? Or maybe you do, and maybe you still go into the classroom to teach because you're a good geography teacher. So you go in there knowing full well that you're probably going to end up on a barbecue by the afternoon. It is one of the more disturbing accounts of anything in history I've ever fucking written. No, I didn't write it. Fucking hell. Speak properly. Properly. Speak properly. I've ever, you know, read. Like, it's... it's a hard one. It really is. It's a really interesting one. And hard to believe. It's hard to believe that all of this stuff actually happened. Like, so out in the open. And in such a happy way. The way they write about it. It seems like everyone's just having fun. And, you know, killing each other and eating each other. Yeah. They make it sound kind of nice, you know? It's like a party. A party across the county. Yeah. The death toll of this Guangxi massacre is apparently 100,000 to 150,000 people. But there are estimates that, you know, between 70,000 something and 500,000 people. That these, the Red Guards and also Communist Party members and, you know, different militias and stuff. You know, they did. They killed these dissidents, these class enemies. They literally ate the rich as well, you know. They were literally eating landowners. Rich people. Fun. Fun. I mean, it's up there with Nanjing or the Nanking massacre. Like, and that happened against the Chinese. You know, some decades before, in during World War II, the Nanking massacre took place against Chinese people. And I mean, I get maybe they learned from it. Or maybe this is just the way human beings are. We are. Because it's not too long ago. Like this. Like, it's not like we've evolved somehow since then. And, you know, there's modern examples of these kind of things. You know, more modern, at least. But this was like in the late 60s. So think about that. John F. Kennedy had already been assassinated. You know, Apollo was taking place during this time. And fucking... In this place in China, there was all this eating people going on. A mass scale. The Nanjing massacre is really kind of, it might be the worst. I mean, what they did, the Japanese did to that city, it's insane. Like, and people, there are still people, this is what's funny, you know, there are still people who kind of defend humanity and like try and make it seem like this thing we got going on here is anything but something that is just disgusting sludge. Like, there are people, like, after these things happen, and not just once or twice, you know, it's not, these aren't the exceptions to humanity. This is, like, a regular kind of thing. These things happen quite a bit. And the fact that, you know, they would even happen a few times or once is, like, fucking hell. You gotta get rid of this species. Like, this species deserve to have, you know, complete control of their environment like they do, you know, or at least a great amount of control of it. Like, get fucking rid of them. These fucking monkey, I say monkey people, but monkeys are better. Monkeys may do some, you know, shit, but nothing, nothing like humans. It's crazy. And the funniest thing, here's the joke. No, even better than the joke. Here's the end of the joke. Yes, that's what I meant to say. Here's the punchline, is what I meant to say. Here's the fucking punchline. These things are going to continue to happen. And, you know, like, there haven't been these kind of examples of it. At least in, you know, big, powerful countries, like, for a while. Everything seemed kind of a bit settled for a while. But, oh, baby, they're coming. You know, the West and China again and Japan and, you know, fucking all European countries. Like, it's just going to... The atrocities are waiting. And it doesn't take a lot for them to actually happen. You know, like, people talk about, oh, Trump the dictator. Fuck off. Donald Trump. Dictator. These people have no idea, no sense of anything, do they? Like, Trump had the skills and he had the, has the skills, has the abilities, I believe, to convince significant, you know, p- percentages of a population to do things on his behalf. But he's also very incompetent. He's, you know, one could say kind of lazy. He goes oftentimes for the low-hanging fruit, and he doesn't really have it in him to oversee kind of a constant state of revolution, of, you know, of big scale things, like his little coup attempt, his coulet, you know, his fucking minor league coup attempt was, I mean, he had 4 years. He could have done what was necessary over those 4 years so that when it came to re-election, he didn't have to worry about anything. You know, he could have put the people in the places they needed to be, and he could have, you know, actually had a real plan for if he lost the election to truly keep control of the presidency. But instead, it was like just a fucking... throw together a PowerPoint presentation, someone, please, for, like, after it's already happened. You know, if Trump was a real hardcore strongman dictator, he would have had, you know, 30 different plans for, you know, 30 different scenarios of what could happen, of what could possibly see him lose the presidency. And he'd be prepared to enact a version of one of those plans, you know, based on the realities on the ground, the facts on the ground. He could have done that, but instead he was just like, oh, fucking shit, I lost, I better say I won, and then I'll just, you know, get some of my supporters all riled up, and hopefully they'll what? Stop the vice president counting things. Yeah, hopefully that will happen, and then everyone else will go along with it. Like, Trump isn't in the same category as a Mao or a Stalin or a Lenin or a, you know, Napoleon. Like, no. No, no, no. Okay, there are great men, great leaders in history who actually do take complete control of nations and kind of remake it in their own image and the way they really want it to be. And then there are fuckers like Trump who try. I'm trying to do this, but I don't know. I'm a bit scared. He was too much of a pussy. He had too much to lose as well. Like, he didn't want to lose his comfort and his security. So he kind of like, he brought his people up to the edge, but then he was like, okay, now go home, because I don't want to be, you know, anything to happen to me or my family, and, you know, and I want my buildings and everything to be okay. You know, he wasn't willing to sacrifice that comfort and security. That's why it was a weak version of a takeover, of a coup, of a real big change in the United States. But you know, Trump wants to do it. You know, and that's why he was always talking about, you know, loving dictators and stuff. And, you know, he was always admiring them. It's because he wants to be that, but he also knows that he can't, because, you know, to do that in America, actually, I mean, you not only have to have the skills, the abilities to control, you know, vast numbers of people and convince vast numbers of people to do your bidding, but you also need to be a great strategist, and you need to take the actions necessary, and some of those actions could backfire. And there's always a chance of that happening. And you need to be prepared for that. And you need to be prepared to, you know, go way out into the fringes and, you know, plan and strategize again and try and come back. But I don't think Trump's got it in him. And, he may come around again to running for president again. He may be president again. But regardless of all that, I think that he hasn't got what's necessary. He hasn't got the kind of intellect. And I'm not saying he's stupid. A lot of people want to say Trump is stupid. He's definitely retarded, but he's not stupid. And he knows how to do, you know, a lot of things. He knows how to become president of the United States, but he doesn't know how to take it to the next level, which is what he dreams of, he fantasizes about. He wants to be on that next plane, you know, because there are presidents and prime ministers and things and kings and queens. And then there are the Napoleons and the Lenins and Stalins and Maos and Pol Pots and Hitlers, you know. There are the individuals who go above kind of the top position, you know. They go above that. They go above the established highest office in the land and they create a new thing, you know, all centered around themselves, and they don't loan the country, you know. They're not in there working for the people. Instead, they take over the country, and the country basically fucking works for them, and, you know, they go above the country, in a sense, and they, you know, basically become the state. They are the state. They change everything and they become the ultimate authority. They are the state. And Trump wants that, but he can't get there. He tried a fucking chaotic failure of a coup, you know, a half-hearted thing, but he just couldn't go all the way. But people like Mao, they fucking went all the way. And when Mao was kind of, you know, pushed aside by those surrounding him, you know, Mao, after the Great Leap Forward, Mao actually lost, you know, a significant amount of power. And the Cultural Revolution was basically a response to that failure. And it was Mao putting his fucking foot down and saying, no, I'm the Mao. I'm the fucking Mao, Mao, Mao. I'm in control here. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to have some fun. We're going to have a cultural revolution. We're going to have another revolution. This time it's going to be cultural. And go ahead and kill a bunch of people. Kill everyone. Kill each other. Chaos. Eat people. Eat each other. Go ahead. Eat the rich, kill the rich, kill the rich, eat the rich. Have fun. And keep me in power. Because I'm for you. You know? All you have to do is be charismatic and have a plan. And at the end of it all, okay, maybe say it's for you. It's for the people. Even if really, it's about being above the people and, you know, controlling everything. But that's what you got to do. And Trumpy didn't have it in him. Maybe he has gone away and he's getting better. And when he comes back in 2023 for, you know, his 2024 run, maybe he will have learned a lot more. And that we could have a dictator Trump. We could have a president for life, Donald Trump, of the United States. And then we could have his, his hot daughter. She is hot. She's definitely bangable. I like her body. I like her face. She has a kind of a weird face. Kind of a long, thin, weird face. But still, definitely fuckable. Definitely fuckable. Definitely fuckable. A bang, 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 bangable. Bangable, 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 bangable. Or could be, you know, one of his other retarded children that are, you know, watered down versions of him.
Yeah.
But I don't think so. I don't think so. A Donald Trump cultural revolution would just be a bunch of people complaining and screaming, and every now and then someone gets run over or gets shot, every now and then. But yeah, nothing special. I don't think you're going to see Trump supporters eating liberals, you know, in parking lots and fucking outside gas stations and stuff, and on the streets, all over the streets, just barbecuing liberals and progressives. I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. But it could, if it wasn't Trump, if it was Trump, but he was just a lot better at doing things, and he wanted to cause that kind of chaos, then could happen. And these leaders are out there in future history, you know? Right now, we stand in the present. We're standing in the present. We're all standing in the present, but we're looking forward to lots of these leaders, and you know, it's just a continued line, and there's been a break of these kind of leaders in big powerful countries, I feel like. But I mean, history never ends, and there's gonna be more. There's gonna be a fucking Japanese dictator that does weird shit and eats children. There's going to be a British Prime Minister who, I don't know, brings back public hangings and stuff, and kills all of the Scottish people, maybe, or the Welsh, or the Irish, you know, just does something, or the Cornish people, yeah. There's going to be an American president who stays American president for all of their life, and who cracks down on fake news media and the big tech, and who does all the things necessary and puts the people who that are loyal to him, that he can control, in the positions that matter. And he rules an American empire forever and ever until his heart stops. And then one of his kids or someone else that he trusts to propagate his name and face and life will take over. Anyway, let's talk more about the actual cultural revolution that took place. It was, as I said, in the 60s, and it was a lot of fun. How many people actually died in the entire Cultural Revolution? It lasted 10 years, by the way. Over 10 years. About 10 and a half years. Where's the death count, please? It's millions of people. The exact number is not known, of course. It rarely is. But I mean, it's got to be millions and millions and millions of people that died because of this. I mean, Mao was a great man. Like, I've read a lot about Mao and, like, the Long March and stuff. And if you haven't read about Mao and you haven't kind of studied the Long March, I recommend you reading up on it and researching it and really, you know, diving into it. I think there are people who do overstate Mao's kind of power. There are some people who think it was just, you know, just him, and he got a couple mates together and then took over China. It's not like that. It wasn't like that. Like, Mao was an important, you know, leader. I feel like in the early story of communism in China, and basically that kind of big takeover of the nationalist China. But it wasn't until, I think, you know, well into the Long March, well into the strategic retreat, that Mao actually became the leader of the revolutionaries. So, but I think people tend to kind of portray it that, like, in this kind of mythical way a lot of times, where it was just kind of like, poor old Mao, get some mates together and go take over China. And then, yeah, he did it. Rags to fucking riches. Like, no, there was a big group of people who also wanted the same thing. And, you know, Mao was a great leader of them. And he kind of, you know, he fucking turned the country into what he did. You know, he won. They won the war. But there was a lot of people doing it. You know, it's not like it was just, you know, oh, one day Mao woke up and had an idea. No. And, you know, it was part of this kind of, you know, the surge of, you know, communism. And it was something that was basically, you know, it was coming. The situation on the ground was just ripe for that kind of revolution to take place. Honestly, I think maybe Lenin is more impressive than Mao. I mean, they're on a similar level. But in terms of the actual revolution itself, I think Lenin is a bit more impressive than Mao. But then again, I think Mao afterwards had a bigger impact on his country than Lenin did. And I think Mao did crazier shit. Yeah. Ugh. Fun stuff. Can't wait for a new cultural revolution. I can't wait for a British cultural revolution. Can't wait for a French cultural revolution. Can't wait for an American cultural revolution. I wonder what a Canadian cultural revolution will look like. A lot of people think Canadians are all friendly and stuff, but they're not. They're not. They're not. I used to live in Canada. It's one of the countries I have lived in. And sure, there are nice Canadians, but there are also a lot of passive-aggressive Canadians. And I think a Canadian cultural revolution will be very passive-aggressive. Yes, it will. And that's it for today. I'm going to go take a shit. Good luck out there.